Welcome to the Upper Hand Podcast, where Chuck and Chris talk hand surgery.
We are two hand surgeons at Washington University in St. Louis, here to talk about all things hand surgery related, from technical to personal.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And thank you in advance for leaving a review and leaving a rating wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
I'm good. I'm back in the basement.
This is great. We're back on our home turf. It's weird. We're not in person and we're not traveling. And this is kind of what we usually do.
Yeah, it's good to be boring. Is that fair? Good to be boring.
I guess. I mean, so how have you been? How's your week been back from the Hand Society?
My week has been busy in a good way. Cases every day, busy clinics. Yeah, fantastic. What about you?
Cases every day. Look at you.
Well, except for Monday. Monday, my big clinic day, but every other day, yeah. Cases, which is, keeps me honest.
It's been so good to be home, I tell you. To have a normal week has been amazing. So that's been great. Getting back in the rhythm of things is really good, and looking forward to being home, for the next couple of months. So never, back when we were all, jonesing to get out and travel again, I never thought I'd say something like that, but it is really nice to be home and have the stability of the schedule and, that kind of thing.
For sure. And you had a crazy stretch. But I had a great Hand Society meeting.
So did I, but I want to hear about yours. I mean, we had a lot of fun, I think, throughout the week, but it was exhausting, but it was fun.
Yeah. So for me, I hadn't been since 2019. Obviously no one went in 2020. 2021 was, I think, partially attended, I guess I would say, and I didn't feel comfortable personally going, so didn't. And this meeting was in Boston for those who didn't attend, and it was fantastic. I thought the content was really strong. The venue was fantastic, but it really, of course, was the people, just catching up with people I hadn't seen in some time. And there was all kind of social events and educational events and just engaging. It was great. It was great. We can dive deeper, but what about your 30,000 foot view?
Same thing. I mean, it was a lot of pent up energy, which was good. I think Boston is a great venue for that meeting. I always enjoy going to Boston. I like seeing that Boston's on the schedule for a few years down the line, too. I just like the vibe there. Even though I didn't really get to explore the city this time, I know that there's walkable stuff. There's great restaurants. And usually the weather's pretty darn good that time of the year. I remember catching it. I think one of the years a Red Sox game was the international event, which was super fun. So it's just a great city, great venue. The conference venue itself is good. It's not crazy spread out. It was just, it was packed and in a good way, I think, so it felt really good to be there, and a lot of podcast love. So thank you to those of you that came up and said hi to Chuck and to me. And, it's just so interesting, to have that connection and that relationship. And I had more than a few people come up to me saying, "So weird to see your face." I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, "No, it's weird because all I usually hear your voice. So to hear your voice and then watch you present is just super weird." So I tried not to take offense to that. I knew what they were saying.
Yeah, it's. I thought there was a little bit of a dichotomy. So you had told me there would be some podcast love, and I'm like, okay, Chris, I'm sure maybe for you there was some podcast love, which was great. And as I, thanked each person who came up and said hello, it really is meaningful. And because the dichotomy part is some of my peers, or actually some of the even more senior members, believe it or not, there are more senior members, Chris, they would say, how do you do this? Like, how do you find the time and the energy to do this every single week? And it's the love, it's the feedback, it's the fact that you and I enjoy each other's company, but it's also the external feedback.
Right. It's this loop. it's been very fulfilling in a lot of ways. And I think that, I think there's a lot of appreciation for it. I tried to ask people what they, what they want to hear more of. It is surgical technique. So I think our next episode has to be about surgery itself. Honestly, it is a super fun thing to see people. The live podcast episode was really fun. I think neither of us kind of knew what to expect there. I mean, what would you think about that?
Yeah, it's our second live podcast, and those who are listening to this episode will know that last week we shared that through the podcast. But doing the live portion, I think we were better than we were in London. We've learned some lessons. our audio, and I'm no audiophile, so I apologize for last week's audio. It's fine. It's not setting a new standard in quality, but for our simple production unit, which is you and me.
That's really you.
It was good, but I it's hard to explain, but when you have a guy named like Jonathan Hobby, who is a real big name in British hand surgery, kind of join in and share his thoughts. And you have Sam, who is a friend of the podcast, join in and share his thoughts. And you have great content suggestions to the audience. Once again, it's super fun and super energizing.
It was such a different feel than literally anything else that I did that week. Just in terms of, not being up behind the podium and, kind of freewheeling it a bit. It was energizing. I wish more things were like that. I think that the audience who attended appreciated it. Certainly there was some great energy in the room.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So maybe pick, three highlights of your meeting and I can do the same. We can go back and forth or something. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. I admit that I wish I had more time to attend other sessions during this meeting. I was pretty booked in terms of, speaking commitments and that kind of thing. And then there was one talk that slipped through the cracks that was supposed to be made ahead of time that didn't get made ahead of time. So there was a little study hall in the speaker ready room to make a brand new talk, but it went great. But it was time that it could have been in sessions. I mean, I thought that the theme back to basics was fantastic. The symposia that I did catch were great. I always enjoy things like the founder's lecture. And I loved Jeff Greenberg's presidential address. I thought the guest speaker was super interesting, that he brought in and just, usually it's somebody from outside of hand surgery. And I thought that was really helpful to gain some perspective. In terms of actual things taking home, I did sit in on a lot of nerve sessions since, I was there anyway. And I'm really excited about some of the newer ways to evaluate nerve injury. I'm really gung-ho on ultrasound still, and even using ultrasound in the sterile field in the operating room. So, my brain was turning a lot during those sessions thinking about how we can bring some of that stuff back to St. Louis. So I think exploring some of the alternative modalities, really trying to get back into MR neurography at our place, typically has not been used a lot just because of kind of institutional things. But I think that we're going to start to re-engage on that. How about you?
Cool. I think you're, and if I get this, if my perception is wrong, correct me, but I think your meeting was somewhat like my meetings in years past, which is you were super busy giving a lot of talks, leading a lot of sessions and the like. And I was actually believing that my meeting was going to be pretty calm and I would have a lot of free time. That didn't happen. I gave a handful of talks, I think five or six talks. Yeah, sounds right. About five or six talks. But what ended up being somewhat time consuming was meetings on for different things. And some of those were the highlights. I'll start with the what's it called? It's like the International Outreach Committee, or it's the Touching Hands Committee, basically. And that's, to Scott Cozen's credit, he launched this. He actually launched it in Boston. I think it was in 2014. And I haven't been involved in that with that group, despite having received some supportive funds from the Touching Hands Project for a previous trip. And despite having been, I've been involved for 20 years with a program called the World Pediatric Project, which I really, really like. And so I went to the meeting and, it was a kind of a roundtable meeting. There was probably 20 people in the room. And I absolutely loved the fact that there were so many really knowledgeable people who had experiences at a whole nother level compared to someone like me, despite my being in the game for a while, and really super energizing, super interesting stuff. For example, and I'm going to get the details wrong, but there's communication with surgeons on the ground. If the hand society surgeon is back home, and he or she has a relationship with a surgeon with boots on the ground, and that surgeon has questions or potentially even intraoperative questions. They're essentially Google Glasses that can be used to communicate back and forth and say, hey, what's this? Or, hey, what do I do next? So to me, that was super cool.
That is really cool. I had no idea that existed. That's awesome.
It's incredible and really a remarkable opportunity to make the world smaller, right? And then the second thing was interesting, and I want you to do this if you are so inclined. One of the really experienced people was talking about video. We all love video, right? Our residents live on video, right? They don't want to read. They want to watch video.
True.
And the speaker was talking about how video is great, but it's the audio in the video which makes a video really good. And so there are these cool little wireless mics that are $30. And I bought one, and it's basically a pair of two. So I would wear one, and whoever I'm interviewing or talking to would wear one, and it just elevates the video. So that's I'm going to dive deep on that. And I'm going on a mission trip in a few weeks. And I really want to be better about capturing content, both for the Hand Society Touching Hands and the World Pediatric Project, and just kind of sharing the experience, because it's a remarkable experience.
Absolutely. I mean, I think honestly, a lot of us would benefit from having higher quality audio and video, and in the opera, there's so many teachable things that you want to capture. It's just, you know, for us, what holds us back, at least for me, is having the wherewithal and the resources to do it efficiently, effectively, and at a high quality, because none of us want to be working on something that isn't to the quality that we would like. So that sounds great. And the Google Glass thing sounds amazing. I mean, I'm always really impressed. I think hand surgeons and hand therapists do the international work at a high level in a very thoughtful way. Not only from a programmatic perspective, but particularly from, you know, I saw some really interesting stuff coming down the pike, and, you know, in development from Lauren Shapiro and Rob Kamal are doing some great stuff in terms of how they evaluate the work, the footprint, the impact, you know, the connectivity with the locals, with the local teams. So not just going in and doing stuff and, you know, leaving, but then how do we set up a program to really make it work and do it the right way? So I'm always impressed by that group. It's not something I've engaged in since medical school, but you know, it's fascinating to watch the progress.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and Rob is doing a great job, and we are trying to figure out how we can leverage could registry database information and possibly use that as a mechanism, because, you know, fly in, fly out missions are just not okay. And the group I work with does have boots on the ground 24/7, 365 days a year, but I still need better follow-up. I want to know outcomes and communicate with surgeons on the ground. So anyway, so much opportunity. So that was my first cool thing from the meeting.
Well, one of mine was co-chairing the resident fellows meeting with Christina Ward from Minneapolis. That was super fun. There were almost 300 residents and fellows in the room. It was, you know, on the Wednesday of the meeting, so right before the main meeting started. People were engaged and enthusiastic. We tried to design an agenda that balanced, you know, the different audiences in a room, because you have, you know, some as early as medical students, but mainly residents who are interested in hand, residents that are applying to hand, residents that have matched, and then fellows. So we ran the gamut of, you know, different career and practice kind of talks, you know, how to prepare for fellowship applications, how to, how to look for a job after, how to make the most out of your fellowship, how to look for a job, you know, negotiating, all that kind of stuff. Like, I thought it was a great balance, honestly, if I do say so myself. We tried to have some panels, case presentations, that kind of thing. We got some feedback that people wanted to be a little more interactive, which is interesting, because, you know, in past years, people have not wanted to be interactive. So I think maybe that's the pendulum swinging. And then we had a really fun quiz bowl at the end of it. Christina Ward did a great job emceeing that. The lower hand team did not come through at the end, perhaps because they were poorly named, Dr. Gresser, but they represented very well. And Glenn Gasson's group from North Carolina took home the prize. But I think the quiz bowl coming back was super fun. There was a lot of really, really excited people in the room. So yes, co-chairing that was a highlight, and there was a lot of there's a lot of love there.
I'm sure it was. And it's nice that our partner, Lindley Wall, is going to co-chair it next year. And going to the quiz bowl topic. So when we were in London, there was a lot of congenital content, a lot of congenital interested people. And so we had sort of had a quiz bowl there. And Yeah, I don't know that anyone knew what to expect, but it ended up there were three teams, like a North American team, a European team, and an Asian team. And there was probably 60 people just crowded in this small room. So much like fun and energy. So we're in Minneapolis in May, we're doing the International Symposium, and definitely Quiz Bowl is a part of it. Super fun.
Fantastic. So what was your second highlight of the meeting?
God, it sounds weird to say, but it was another committee meeting. I don't know. I think it was because, again, the energy. So I have been a part of the practice committee for a long time, which some people may think sounds boring. And you know, maybe it is boring, but I think it's great. And so this meeting was about getting back to the basics, but also emphasizing the practice management of hand surgery. And so the hand P program, which is obviously developed off the hand E platform, so hand education platform, hand practice platform, has taken off. It's launched. There's great advice on there. And I just want to put a plug in. There is now a podcast, a hand P podcast. And you and I talked to David Way about this over time, and David had launched that, and we talked about ways
he got your blessing, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm no podcast godfather, but I'm excited for their podcast, and I think it can be a real nice addition to the educational space around practice management, practice development.
I think that's going to be great. You know, HandP is going to be something that many of us will go to. And it's not just for those that are in private practice. I think, you know, James Salcedo and his group have put in a lot of effort into making sure that it's broad. So I think it's going to be a great resource, and especially for the residents and fellows. They actually have particular tracks based on where you are in your training, whether you're in training, early in practice, later in practice, you know, looking at retirement, all that kind of stuff. So great content, you know, really going to be something very helpful.
Yeah, perfect. All right, give me one more. And then I got one more, and then let's...
And actually, as I'm thinking of this, like, there's more and more. So maybe we'll just kind of drop some on future episodes. But I hate to be to drop a plug, but I mean, our WashU alumni reception was fantastic. It was amazing. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I want to make it all about the fellowship, you know, but... It was great, you know, compared to prior years. Obviously last year was a bit of an anomaly, but you know, there were tons of people in that room, so much enthusiasm, so much, you know, pride. And it really, looking at the room, it made me very proud to be an alum of the program and now the fellowship director.
So I've lived through a different era when the cocktail hour was too long, where I would try to sneak into another one just because there was more going on. And so to see, I don't know how many people were in the room, 50 people, again, full of enthusiasm. And as you know, my absolute favorite thing at those events is to go around the room and catch, you know, just a brief blurb and catch people up. It was so awesome. It was fun. It was funny. Good stories, good people. It was fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to look at the accomplishments of our alums at the meeting itself, and then over their careers. I mean, you know, it's a special group, and I'm really happy that, you know, we were able to get together and celebrate that. And you know, I think that that's something that as a fellowship director, I want to continue to build on what Marty started, build on the legacy there, and then try to find ways to really connect everybody, because that's a really great group of people, accomplished, but also very thoughtful, you know, all over the country and all over the world, to be honest with you. So that was my third highlight of the meeting, and I have a few more, but I'll save mine for next time. So what was your third highlight?
Yeah, my third and final, at least for this pod, is there was a pre-course that Lindley Wall chaired with Peter Waters on pediatric and congenital hand. It was Wednesday morning, which is not an ideal time, especially for peds. It was not a huge audience. The content and the discussion was phenomenal. Really interesting. There's some controversial topics which were brought up. All good. All really good. I will say that when you, and I know you'll appreciate this, when I watch someone like Peter Waters, who is such a great moderator and has this God-given talent of engaging those around them and asking the right question at the right time or bringing up something provocative at the right time. It's awesome. I mean, it's just like watching, yeah, I don't know what the analogy is, but it's just so cool to see someone do it at a high level. So I love the whole morning, and Lindley did a great job, and obviously Peter Waters did a great job.
You know, I've had I haven't been fortunate enough to have a lot of interaction with Peter until this meeting, and he gave the Richard Smith lecture at the Resident Fellows Day, and it was one of the best talks I have ever seen. It was amazing. I actually bought two books because of his talk that I have to read now, but it was incredible. So I can see his gift as a speaker, incredibly engaging, and I can only imagine how good he is as a moderator. So that's a skill. And, you know, some people have it and then you develop it over time, but it's impressive when you see it. So I can obviously see how that's a highlight for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So two things, Chris, before we close.
Of course.
One, you got to share the books. Either we can put them in the show notes, or if you remember the titles off your head, share them. And two, our podcast that dropped last week, no, two weeks ago, by the time this airs, it was also related to the Smith lecture from the Residents and Fellows Conference.
That's
it
right.
It was Peter Carter's 20-year-ago lecture about the Family and the Hand Society. So if you haven't caught that, listen to it if you want, but watch it on YouTube. It's fantastic. And that opportunity to speak at that conference is something.
Absolutely. So yeah, check that out. I will put the books in the show notes. I don't want to mess up one of the titles. One of them is about the hand. The other one is more of a recent leadership book. So we'll put those in the show notes. I'll email that to you. And you know, maybe we should have Peter on to talk of it to, you know, give something along the lines of his talk, because it was fantastic. So teasers for next time. Look forward to seeing you guys listening to us and connecting with you guys at next week.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good day.
You too.
Hey, Chris, that was fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good. Well, be sure to check us out on Twitter at Hand Podcast. Hey, Chuck, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Congenital Hand. What about you?
Mine is at ChrisDMD, spelled D-Y. And if you'd like to email us, you can reach us at handpodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And be sure to leave a review. That helps us get the word out.
Special thanks to Peter Martin for the amazing music. And remember, keep the upper hand and come back next time.